Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Think and Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making in the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So I've got a provocative question for our audience, and this is the title of our episode today. Do your results match your intelligence? Let me say that again. Do your results match your intelligence? Kelly, I'm curious. Do your results match your intelligence today?
I think they do today. But, you know, I guess defining intelligence too, you know what I mean? Like when we're talking about the outcomes, do they match our intelligence?
Well, let me maybe put some color around.
That'd be great.
Like when I was 50, I was like, why are my results not reflecting my potential?
Yeah.
I'm like, why is that? What is the disconnect here? There's just more gas in the tank than was coming out. And I know you felt that same way 7 or 8 years ago, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That was the kind of what I was thinking when you first said it. And then the word intelligence. So I was thinking, your results match your
potential?
Potential. Yeah. Versus intelligence. You know, and so I'm like, okay, well, how are we defining intelligence?
You know, that's a good distinction. Maybe that's a better way to say it.
Yeah, because potential back, you know, earlier, definitely, no, my results weren't matching, you know, my potential. I think now using this methodology, I've completely dialed that in and changed that paradigm completely. But it's where you throw in the intelligence because I'm like, you know,
yeah,
I don't know. That's a good question.
Right. Well, you know, I'll give you an example of this, and there's a reason that your results, most people's results don't match their potential or their intelligence. And maybe the easiest way to explain it is your daily actions determine your success in life, and because 95% of them are unconscious, then your conscious mind, intelligence, and logic is not driving your actions. Pretty simple. Can't get any more simple than that.
Yep.
And I'll give you an example. I may have used this before, but I think it illuminates this point pretty well about my relationship with Ginger. And again, I probably mentioned this 2 or 3 episodes ago, but like Ginger and I get going on our day. You know, we wake up, she goes and does her thing, I do my thing. And then we get to dinner time and she starts preparing dinner and trying to get it on the table. And of course, I'm like, babe, I'm just thinking this. I'm not saying this. I'm like, babe, let's get it on the table. The boy's hungry. Let's feed the boy. But I'm only thinking that because keep in mind, I am feeding to myself each day, each morning in my live GPS template. I'm really feeding two things, that I'm flexible, patient, and thoughtful, and I describe what that means. And secondly, I'm affirming that the Ginge is different than me. You know, she does things slow and is people-oriented. I do things fast and I'm task-oriented. So that's what I'm feeding myself. And so as we're dealing with dinner, at the first hint of impatience on my part, the unconscious thought bubbles up to my conscious mind to go, John, here is the perfect opportunity to be patient. You're not going to speed her up any. It's only going to piss her off if you, press her on the issue. And again, this is an example of how if I wouldn't read my life GPS template, all of my actions would be unconscious and I would react to it. And so as soon as I was impatient, I would have said something to her. But because of reading my life GPS template, I am now taking back control of my actions and putting them in control of my intelligence and intellect to have the wisdom to actually be patient and shut my mouth. Yeah, but I think that the larger point on this is you see how when you're living your life in the moment, everything's going on. And this is true in every phase of your life, your career, your health, your relationship is in the moment and reactive. And that's why if you're not doing something that gives you control over those actions so that you shift control back to your intelligence, then you're just reacting. And that's also why your intentions, you can only do them sporadically rather than consistently. And that is the difference between the exceptional life and the average life. When that process is happening 50 times over, like there's 50 things in my life GPS template and yours too, that you're affirming, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And so, and you can see the compounding effect when all that is happening in 50 different things is happening, you know, every day, every year, you just play the game of life at a higher level. So yeah. You buy all that?
I absolutely buy all of that. You know, and I think, when I'm thinking of it too, when we're talking about it in terms of like living into, you know, your full potential, you know, I immediately think about business or career.
Right.
Where I'm thinking about how hard prior to this methodology, like I was working, you know, and I felt like I was working, you know, really hard, and I was, but
you are
working on the right things, you know, right. Spending and I was doing so many things because that's the way I'd always done them because I was on autopilot.
Right.
You know? And, you know, so until like, well, I'll just use one example of one of the things that's game changing. And by using this methodology and the life GPS is scheduling that thinking time.
Right.
It is sitting down and thinking about things more deeply, you know, whether it's business, whether it's a trying to solve a problem, you know, that you're having in business, whether it's developing an idea, making those distinctions and making sure that I'm focused on the things that actually move the needle instead of all of the busy work in the business, that I'm making the time and focusing on the, whereas before just being on autopilot. You know, anybody who has run a business, or it doesn't matter whether you're in a business or in your career, you know that oftentimes you are reactionary. You have hundreds of things coming at you a day. You feel like I need to, and this is the next fire I need to put out. This is urgent or whatever. When it really, you know, like when you are using this methodology, you start to learn like, is that really a fire? That's not my fire.
You know? Yeah, right.
That's
right.
You know, so I think, you know, when we're talking about like living into your full potential, I think that was the biggest game changer, along with what you were talking about with how to utilize that in relationships and things along those lines. For me, you know, it was about implementing these new habits that then I could do consistently to be, you know, thinking more deeply about my business, making sure I am focused on the things that move the needle so that in that moment when there's something that moves the needle in the business, you know, but maybe I'm not looking forward to it, you know, or something, whatever.
Right.
Then it's easy to get distracted and pulled away to do the thing that maybe you enjoy a little bit more, or maybe, you know, but when you're using this methodology, it doesn't allow you to do that, you know,
because you're going to feel guilty.
Like, you're going to feel guilty. And because also, too, like if you are affirming your identity and all of those things within this life GPS and everything, then it's not even a feeling guilty. You just all of a sudden feel a lack of congruence. Like, I'm not the type of person who does that. I don't get distracted, you know, by things that don't move the needle in the business. Because does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. You're clarifying your identity.
Yeah.
And your actions reflect that. You know, I'll give you another example with the gent. I guess I'm really in the Ginger Mitchell business. But Sunday, I'm working on something important for Think It Be It. And so she comes into my office. She says, John, will you come into the garage and clean out a garage? And I didn't really want to do it, but I'm like, she says, come over. And one of the things I affirm in my life GPS template is to do what she wants me to do right away. Okay. So I pop my happy ass up and go in the garage, and she starts telling me these ottomans that we bought that were pretty expensive, and now she wants to throw away. And she's explaining how we bought them and how much they cost. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, I know the story behind it, but I keep my big mouth shut because of what I'm reading in my life GPS template. I'm keying myself to be patient, and I'm affirming that she will oftentimes give a very long explanation about it. And then she takes me out into our front area where we have flowers. She tells me why the flowers we have are not very good. Well, yeah, it's, babe, just tell me what we should have there. I don't need to know why they're going to die. Again, I'm not saying this stuff. I'm just keeping my mouth shut. But I see, and I didn't really get this truly until 6 months ago about how this methodology will shape your thoughts, shape the creation of your thoughts, so that at exactly the right time, an unconscious thought will bubble up to your conscious mind to take control of your actions in a way that wouldn't have otherwise happened. And I find it very fascinating about how it works. And that's what led me to fully appreciate that we're not engaging our intelligence and intellect the vast majority of the time. But another thing I wanted to sort of bring up, I think that's interesting, is this constant dance between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And you alluded to it where you're doing thinking time. Well, that's all conscious mind. Everything really starts with the conscious mind. You know, the conscious mind, using your intelligence and intellect, has to figure out what your priorities are, what your intentions are, why you're doing this, why you're doing that. And then once it figures it out and, let's say, puts it on the life GPS template, that's the hard part. Then you just feed it to yourself every day. That's the easy part. And the subconscious mind is the obedient servant of the conscious mind. And so that's how it works. But one of the things that I am thinking about doing, I'm going to revise my book here over Thanksgiving. And I'm almost to the point with people where if they don't plan their day the night before and time block their day, my attitude is, don't even do this methodology. Put the book away. Don't even do it. Because being successful in life comes down to being organized. That's the starting point. And I remember, and I know you remember this too, when we were coaching people and they would be a six on organization, five or six. And so we would press the issue of, okay, let's fix it. So before we're even going to teach you the methodology, let's fix being a five or six on organization. And I saw how people struggled with that. And it would really piss me off, candidly. I'm like, come on, what do you not get that if you're going to be highly successful, you got to be organized and you got to be planning your day the night before. You can't roll into the day and figure out what the hell you're going to do. That you need to be doing the planning the night before so that the day of, you're all about doing. And you got to be time blocking your days. And so I'm really, really seriously thinking about putting it in the revised version of my book, that if you won't do that for whatever reason, don't do the rest of it. Well, what's your take on that? Am I being too hard-nosed about that?
Well, I think it's one thing that's indicative of whether, you know, somebody's going to be successful because that, you know, with this methodology, because that's one of the key, you know, pieces like you just talked about in terms of being successful is that you are somebody who's organized and who plans. But if this book is an entry point for somebody who really isn't even familiar with that concept,
right,
never tried it before, that would be my, you know, only, you know, caveat, you know, caution for you to be that hard-lined with that statement is that there, believe it or not, you know, are people out there who will be interested in this, but who have never, you know what I mean? Just haven't been, you know, introduced to or know a lot about being organized, you know, or planning the night before. I mean, that could be newer.
What am I having? 6-year-olds read my friggin' book?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who your audience is, you know, definitely.
Well, I got 20-year-olds where it was a new concept. And I'll tell you, I got a great lesson from the head of the department the other day. I was telling her, so I taught them all the organizational system.
Yeah.
And I didn't like what I got back, largely. Yeah. And she told me, she says, well, first place I'd look is in the mirror to see if, you got what you taught. And I'm like, you know, that's exactly right. That's a great thought. And so, of course, I'd already given the grades. I was pretty lenient. But then I taught them deep thinking. I'm like, okay, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so I'm like up in the bar. And if I don't like what I'm getting, I'm like, here's what you, if you want to raise your, I'm going to give you a lousy grade. And so if you want to raise your grade, here's what I need to see. But I see that like with 20-year-olds, nobody's ever taught them organization. They're lucky if they do a list. They just get up and try and remember what they're doing today. And I'm like, wow, this is so hard to understand why people can't get that the fundamentals of success is being organized.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And so I don't know. It's just interesting that again, this constant dance between the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, that conscious mind on a daily basis has to figure out the stuff you're going to do and it'll guide you. You know, that sheet of paper or will guide you as, oh, I'm doing this from this time to this time. And you just can run down the list and cross off the stuff. You feel this sense of accomplishment from crossing it off. And it's powerful. But I see that a lot of people struggle with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think, you know, and I don't know this for a fact. I do know that when I came up with organizational skills, like we didn't learn that in school. We didn't learn it. Like I learned it out of a sense of necessity, you know, then through the personal development and growth that I was introduced to some of the different time plan, you know, management planning tools and everything. And I think now there are all kinds of tools that people like use that kind of do that for them, you know, so like different CRMs that people are involved in, like, you know, based on the activity that they do that day, when they come in the next day, they're kind of dashboards filled out with the stuff you need to do today. You know, I think as wonderful as technology is in so many ways, it also, you know, can do some of the thinking, you know, for us. I was joking with my business partner, April, you know, about ChatGPT. And I said, I'm a little worried, you know, that because I am now going to chat to ask so many things and to, you know, that I'm like, I'm worried about my critical thinking skills. Like I need to make sure that I'm, you know, that I'm still exercising that muscle rather than just going straight to, you know, that as a, not as a, it's not like I use it as my final, but I get some ideas from it and, you know, it helps generate some different things. But we were joking about that. And I wonder to what degree too with the young, you know, like the people who are just coming up into their careers, whether so many of these tools do so much of this kind of thinking,
right,
quote unquote, planning, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, I'm just wondering whether that becomes even a lost art because it's done, you know, all without even having to think about your day.
Well, I tell you, I see that ChatGPT is such a extension of, yeah, of you or me. And I use it all the time. And I'll give you an example. As I was telling you, I'm going into a new business, the exotic car rental business. And so I bought my first exotic car, a Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. And so I'm designing the website where we're going to rent it out. I was designing the ads for it. And I come up, I'm like, you know, it's very sleek and black and it's, you know, sophisticated. It's not like a green Lamborghini, you know, it's for that discriminating, understated person that is not 25 years old, probably more 50. And so I create the ad and I'm like, this is pretty damn good. And I put it into ChatGPT. It like blows me away with what it says. Way more polished and precise than how I said it. And so the point of sharing that story is that I see that you really need to have the audio version of ChatGPT on your phone so that you don't have to type anything. You just press the button and say, chat, here's what I want to talk about, and literally have a conversation.
Yeah. Yep. It's pretty cool. It's a great tool, you know, definitely. And I think there's ways, definitely you can utilize all of that now too, for your planning, for your organizing, for all of that versus,
right.
I know when you were talking about teaching them, you know, we're teaching them from an older system, you know, that works by writing it down. I'm still somebody who writes stuff down, even though I have my computer and it's plugged in there. I also have my planner.
Right.
Because it just helps my brain be able to organize things. But, you know, I just wonder whether there's a disconnect to in talking to people about the way that, it, you know, we do it with the how technology has come into the picture.
Well, you know, I get what you're saying, and I'm like, not everything has to be digital. In fact, there's a lot of reasons not to make it digital. And you know, you don't get the visceral pleasure of crossing stuff off, and you have more flexibility when it's written. But I just see that, and maybe you'd find this interesting with your employees. I found this when I really was thinking deeply about transforming my life and how organized I had become, I went to all 175 employees and started asking them, how organized are you? And they were a 5 or 6 on average. I'm like, oh my God, you know, if we could just fix that, we'd easily double what was going on around here. And so I started doing it. And as you would know, there was pushback.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, my attitude now would be, well, you don't want to do it, then please go work for my competitor because we're going to be organized around here.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever thought of asking your employees just one simple question, scale of 1 to 10, how organized are you?
Well, I would, but see, I don't have to because I teach it. Like it's part of the onboarding for how we plan the night before the last 30 minutes.
Oh, good.
Yep. Last 30 minutes of your day is organizing. It's getting your time blocks in order, not only your time blocks, but it is putting down what you're doing in that time block, any resources you need for that time block. Cause I want you, when that time block comes, I want you to be able to hit the ground running, not prepare for that time block while you're in the time block.
So you're so smart.
Last 30 minutes to an hour sometimes, depending on how, you know, how busy their desk is spent in planning and preparation so that they can hit the ground running the next day. And there's lots of different reasons we've talked about. It's productivity. It's all of that. But it also is It's a huge stress reliever.
Yeah, absolutely.
You walk in and your head is clear. You don't have to think about what you're doing. You're ready to rock and roll. That's a
right.
I mean, jobs are stressful enough. You know, career, dealing with people, all of that is stressful enough. If you could clear out all that extra, you know, and do that the night before, where like you don't have to think about it, you're ready to go.
Right.
You know,
the mind thrives on order.
Exactly. And so that's just part of my high performance, you know, training that we do, and part of the onboarding with the training we do with our team. That like this is a non-negotiable. At any moment in our weekly meetings that we have, and we call it a whiteboard meeting. It's remote because most everybody's working remotely now.
Right.
But it is, I could ask anybody to pull their calendar up so that I can see that it's being done and everything.
Right.
And I can see their calendars. So I know what's that, those time blocks are there, and that planning is happening. So,
you know, that's exactly why you're successful. You're not only making yourself do it, you're making your employees do it.
Yeah.
And I see that oftentimes in businesses, people are very negligent in onboarding their people and not explaining, here's how we do it here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only way to be successful in this day and time, I think, is being highly organized.
Even more so now than like 10, or there's just
right.
many distractions now. You know what I mean? And it's so easy to drift away from the things that are really important and that make a difference in your day to day, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, I think that's all we have got today. So until next time, we will see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute a day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich, and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.